You're listening to Feedback with Bill Saunders on News Talk 830 WEEU and 830WEEU.com. A new generation of talk.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Feedback, your on-air town square here on the Voice of Berks and Beyond, 830 WEEU. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders along with Sean Tansky, and our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800, toll-free if you're calling from out of the area, 888-401-0459. Our dedicated text line is 484-650-3373. And, of course, our email address remains the same at feedback@830weeu.com. Well, we're going to start off the show a little differently today because I have a very special guest on the line with me right now. I'm joined by GOP candidate for U.S. Senate, Dave McCormick. Mr. McCormick, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us this morning. Let's start off with the top concern for many voters, the economy. Inflation remains stubbornly high. Why do you think that's been so difficult to get that inflationary rate down to the 2% target the Fed is hoping for?
Well, this is the direct result of really bad policy choices. The Democrats and Republicans alike have overspent for the last 20 years. But under President Biden, and Senator Casey and the Democrats more broadly have supported an increase in $6 trillion of spending. And that spending has a lot of money chasing fewer things in the economy, and that's driven up prices. So that's the primary cause of it. The second cause of it is the war on oil and gas. Because of all the restrictions the Biden administration has put in place and tried to transition the economy to an economy where people don't consume fossil fuels, that's driven up the price of fuel. Those are the two main reasons that inflation is still at a 40-year high. And the implications for Pennsylvanians, really important. 60% of Pennsylvanians live paycheck to paycheck. And for them, under President Biden, what's happened is that prices are up by 21% on average. Some prices are way up, way above 20, but on average, 21%. And wages are up on average by about 14%. So only 14%. So you have this gap where people are getting squeezed. They have less money to buy fuel and food and rent. And interest rates are up. So if you're going to buy a new pickup truck, it costs about 60% more. And if you're going to buy a new house, it's about twice as much. And so for the majority of Pennsylvanians, this is a bad economy. Now, if you're wealthy and have a 401k and a house, your house is worth more money. So for people with assets, it's been a good economy. But for most Pennsylvanians, it's been a bad economy, and it's all the result of bad choices by President Biden. And Bob Casey supported these policies every step of the way. And as a consequence of that, that's why nobody believes Bidenomics is working, despite what President Biden and Bob Casey say.
Speaking of spending, the nation's total debt now stands at a whopping $34.7 trillion, and it continues to climb. Yet Congress has done nothing to address it, it seems. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, any time, just common sense, any time your interest payment on your debt, which is $1 trillion in our case, exceeds your defense budget, you're in trouble, right? That's a problem, and that's what's happening right now, and it's the result of a complete lack of discipline in terms of managing our budget. And as I said, Republicans and Democrats alike are responsible for that. But it's gotten much, much worse under President Biden. If you look at the charts, it's sort of you see an upward rise, and then it's a hockey stick under Biden. And so what do you do about it? Well, these enormous spending programs need to be reeled back. You know, we've invested trillions of dollars in essentially trying to make our economy dependent on solar panels and EVs. That's been bad for industry. It's been bad for the environment. It's been bad for national security, because unlocking natural gas in Pennsylvania, one message, if there's one message for today, unlocking that natural gas opportunity in Pennsylvania is the one single thing you could do that would change the trajectory of our Commonwealth. We have the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world. And by unlocking that, you create economic opportunity for Pennsylvanians. You enhance our national security as a country because we give that natural gas to our allies around the world. And then finally, you replace coal-fired plants in China and India with natural gas, and that helps carbon emissions and helps the environment. And what's happened under Biden is we made ourselves more dependent on China for solar panels and lithium batteries. So that's the number one thing. That spending is absolutely out of control. If I was in the Senate, I would be fighting against that and rolling much of that back. I'd be fighting for a balanced budget amendment. I think that's an obvious thing to do. You know, you and I, if we have an unexpected debt where a transmission goes down in our car or something like that, if you got to pay for that, then you're probably going to not do something else that you might. For most Pennsylvanians, that's the way they think. Our policymakers, our Congress people, our Senator Bob Casey doesn't think that way. And so that's the second thing you need to do. And then there's a lot of ridiculous discretionary spending that needs to be brought under control. And listen, this is where I think you look at Senator Casey's record. He has to be held to account. He's voted 98% of the time with Joe Biden. He's never met a spending bill he doesn't like. And, he's never made payroll. He's never had to create jobs. So he doesn't know what it's like to actually have to balance a budget. And that's what we need in Washington, is somebody who's had to do that, and I have as a CEO of two companies and as a business guy.
I'm speaking with Dave McCormick, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Let's change topics here for a little bit and talk about the southern border. Over the last 3 years, we've seen the highest numbers ever of illegal border crossings. Do you think our immigration system is broken, as Democrats claim? And if so, what needs to be done to fix it?
Well, I think that it's been an unmitigated disaster under the Biden administration. If we were sitting in a room together on the first day of President Biden's presidency, knowing that he was going to overturn many of the policies of the Trump administration, we would never have imagined it could get this bad. 10 million illegal migrants, 13 sanctuary cities or counties in Pennsylvania. So you literally have illegal immigrants receiving benefits that exceed the benefits for Pennsylvanians and American citizens. You have 160 people last year that were apprehended. These are the ones that were apprehended, Bill, that are on the terrorist watch list. Recall, it only took 13 terrorists to take down the towers in 9/11. And the big thing that I see everywhere I go on the campaign trail is fentanyl. The fentanyl crisis is spiraling out of control, and it's a direct consequence of the unsecure border. The ingredients for fentanyl come from China into Mexico, and the cartels push it across the border through these illegal crossings. And in 48, 72 hours, it finds its way into Pennsylvania. And, I can't talk enough about this. We lost 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year across all of our counties. It's in Columbia County, where I grew up. It's in all around Pittsburgh and the counties there where I ran a business for 10 years. This is a huge crisis. It's almost over 100,000 deaths last year in America. And this is the kind of thing people aren't talking about enough. I think that the administration has failed us terribly on this fentanyl crisis. And what do you do? Well, A, the president has a lot of the authorities. He needs to roll back, President Biden, that is, roll back all the terrible decisions they made. The border was secure under President Trump, most secure it had been in decades. And then, of course, we can always have legislation that will make it better. But this is where Bob Casey's, got no leg to stand on. He voted against money for the Border Patrol. He voted against the fentanyl initiative. He voted for sanctuary cities. He voted against the wall. And now the Democrats and President Biden and Senator Casey are trying to have an election year conversion where all of a sudden they're worried about the border. I think it's indefensible. And the final thing I'll say, I don't say this lightly, I think it's overtly political. I think the reason the border's wide open is it helps the Democratic Party in the census, and I think ultimately they think these 10 million illegal immigrants are going to become citizens when they have control of the majority in the House and the Senate. And so I think it's a crisis that we'll look back on and say we let this get out of control, and Biden and Casey are accountable for it.
On a similar note, FBI Director Christopher Wray recently testified before Congress on what he sees as a high probability of domestic terrorist attacks. Do you believe the president is doing enough to prevent such attacks from happening? And if not, why?
You know, I don't. And I think I think the border is the primary reason. You know, I read the statistics there. You know, we have this false idea that the people coming across the border are from Mexico or Central America, or, you know, or even South America. You know, increasingly, that's not the case. They're from Central Asia. They're from the Middle East. They're from Syria. The president's recently proposed that a number of the refugees from Gaza would come into the United States. And when 71% of the Gazan people who are surveyed think that October 7th, the incredible barbaric acts on October 7th, were justified. So we increasingly have millions of people coming into our country illegally that we have literally no oversight on. And just imagine the national security risk that creates. And so I think it's a growing issue. I'm terribly worried we're going to wake up one morning and see a news flash about some horrible terrorist act. I think it's almost inevitable. And I think it's the direct result of these terrible policies. So the first thing you need to do is shut down the border. And then the second thing you need to do is deport illegal immigrants that have entered the country inappropriately. And obviously we need our intelligence services to take down, to monitor who's coming in that could be a terrorist threat. The final thing I'll say, which I think is a terrorist threat, even though you might not characterize it that way, is this fentanyl thing. And no, this is orchestrated by the cartels and by China. This is an explicit goal of China, and the cartels are infiltrating America with this fentanyl. And I've said publicly, listen, I'd consider using the military to go across the border in a very targeted way and take out these cartels. That is a terrorist threat. It's killing 100,000 Americans. And Bill, to put those numbers in perspective, you know this. 8 years in Vietnam, we lost about 50,000 Americans killed in action. 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, just over 5,000 Americans killed in action. We lost 100,000 Americans last year killed in action from fentanyl. This is a big deal. We need to treat it as such.
I'm talking with Dave McCormick, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. You mentioned China, Dave. What's your assessment of the Biden administration's policy toward China? Do you think we're prepared in the event that we go to war with that country?
I don't. I'd say on two fronts. I think we need to have a comprehensive strategy to hold China accountable for its bad behavior, whether it's the way it handled COVID and the lack of transparency, or as we talked about just a minute ago, the fentanyl ingredients that are coming into our country. I think the Biden administration has been very soft on those things. I think the Biden administration, with Senator Casey's support every step of the way, anytime you say Biden, think Casey, because they've been lockstep. I think the Biden administration has been too slow to decouple strategically those areas which were dependent on China, semiconductors, pharmaceuticals, and this crazy EV solar panel policy where we're subsidizing these things. We're subsidizing China. You know, like the majority of the world's lithium and the majority of the world's solar panels come from China. So at a time that we're trying to reduce our dependence on China in certain areas, the Biden administration has made us more dependent in other areas. And then I think we need faster and more dramatic action in making sure companies and investment firms can invest in China in a way that supports the Chinese military. So that's the first thing we need to do is be much more aggressive in our relationship with China. Second thing we need to do is have the right military capability. And I'm deeply worried that we've lost deterrence under President Biden. He's, you know, the world thinks we're weaker. We see that in Putin's invasion of Ukraine. We see that with the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. We see it in the ham-handed response to the terrorist attacks on U.S. troops in the Middle East. We've lost deterrence, and that's partially because our adversaries don't think we've got a tough customer in the White House that's going to respond with strength, but it's also because we've lost and we are losing military capability. We can't make the recruiting numbers for the Army. I served in the Army. I was West Point grad. I served in the 82nd Airborne, went to Iraq. We can't make the recruiting numbers in our services these days. Our young people don't want to serve. That's a real tragedy. We now have a military that's increasingly not keeping up with the Chinese. I read an article yesterday that said the Chinese are spending as much as we are on the military, but in our case, we're spending 80% of it on old platforms, where the Chinese are spending the majority of it on next-generation warfare. And then I think this social agenda that the Biden administration has put in place, the focus on DEI, the focus on climate change in our military, just to give you an example, the Army, which I love and served in, announced its climate change strategy under Biden before it announced its warfighting strategy. So all these things deteriorate our military capability and strength. And it's what we learned on the playground. If the bully thinks you're not tough and not willing to respond, the bully is going to push you. And unfortunately, and with Russia, with China, with Iran, the bully's pushing us. And they think we're weak, and that's one of the many reasons I think we need new leadership in the White House and new leadership in the Senate.
I'd like to get your take on these protests that are ongoing on our college campuses today, some of which have turned violent, and protesters chanting death to Israel and death to America. What are your thoughts on how college presidents and President Biden and the progressive wing of his party have handled the situation?
I think it's disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful. I went to Israel right after the holidays. We went to one of the communities, Kfar Azah, where 800 residents, 100 of them were butchered. I mean, beheadings, families burned, parents killed in front of their kids. This was absolute evil. And you can't come away from that thinking anything but Hamas needs to be eradicated and we need to support our greatest ally, Israel. And but it's not just Hamas and it's not just Israel. It's Islamic radicalism coming from Iran directed at the West. And unfortunately, I can connect the dots from that to what's happening in our campuses. This, although I'm shocked by it. You know, it's sort of part of the same narrative, which is we have these kids who don't know the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. And you say, my God, how could that happen? And then you watch the testimony of those three presidents, Bill, those three college presidents, I don't know, 6 weeks back or whatever it was. And you say, that's how it happened. The lack of moral clarity, the lack of leadership. And this is a test. And we see it across our leadership and Bob Casey and many of these college presidents, and I think President Biden, have failed the test. They have failed the test. And here's why they failed the test. They have not spoken out clearly. This isn't a First Amendment issue. I just went to Penn last Wednesday. I went and looked at the encampment. This isn't a First Amendment issue. The First Amendment doesn't allow you to stand on a college campus, disrupt the rules of the campus. The Penn leadership says what's happening with this encampment is a direct violation of the rules. Intimidate Jewish kids, tell them to go back to Poland, say Zionism is racism, threaten them with violence, make it impossible for kids to go to class. That's not protected by the First Amendment. That is that's bigotry, that's hatred, that's intimidation, that's the threat of violence. And these college presidents need to clean it up. They need to break up these encampments. For the students, they should be disciplined, including throwing them out of school if they won't get back in line. Two-thirds of the people at Penn, at least the people that I was with speculated, are not even students. This is Antifa and these other radical antagonists that have been brought in. And the university leadership needs to show some strength, and Bob Casey needs to show some strength. And I'll say one final word here. I know I'm going on. But you can't have it both ways on this. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I'm against anti-Semitism, I'm against bigotry, I'm against hatred, as Bob Casey has said, and then endorse Summer Lee, who's a member of the squad. She's a congresswoman who's my congresswoman in Pittsburgh, who has spewed anti-Semitic statements and slurs and is part of really the backbone of a lot of this crazy, hate-filled progressive movement. It's not just by the way, it's not just anti-Israel, it's anti-American. And so you can't have it both ways. This is a test. Bob Casey's failed the test. Joe Biden's failed the test. And in an ironic twist of fate, the other senator from Pennsylvania, who I'm sure I disagree with on 90% of things, has passed the test. He's been a real voice of moral clarity and leadership. So this isn't a party thing. This is a leadership thing. It's a moral clarity thing, and Bob Casey and Joe Biden have failed.
All right, let me talk with you a little bit about abortion. It remains a divisive issue. The Republicans paid a heavy price back in 2022 because of their position on abortion. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, listen, I believe, first of all, that I believe the Democrats will focus on this, and it's because a lot of their agenda has failed miserably, the economy, the border, so forth. I believe it's a very polarizing issue where we have to find common ground. I believe it's a state rights issue, so I'm not for any bans, and I'm not for federal legislation. The people of Pennsylvania have decided, they have legislation in place that Republicans and Democrats alike have agreed to, and then a governor named Casey, Governor Casey, the father of my opponent, signed into law. So I think Pennsylvania, I support what Pennsylvanians have decided, and then my personal beliefs are that we need to not be on extremes. So I oppose bans. I'm for the three exceptions. I believe we should have widely available contraception. I believe we should support young families to encourage life with adoption services. And I think we should have restrictions on late-term abortion. And the position of my opponent, Bob Casey, with the Democratic Party, has now signed legislation that would allow abortions up until the due date. That's not where most Pennsylvanians are. That's not where most Americans are. That's the extreme position. And so that'll be my message on the campaign trail.
In 2022, Dr. Mehmet Oz was faced with criticism for living in New Jersey while seeking to represent Pennsylvania in the U.S. Senate. You have a home in Connecticut. How would you handle similar criticism against you?
Well, first of all, I have a seventh-generation Pennsylvanian. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I left Pennsylvania to go to West Point to serve in the military. For 9 years, I came back to Pennsylvania. I ran a company, created 600 jobs in Pennsylvania, had three of my four daughters in Pennsylvania. Then I went to government to serve again. And in the latter chapter of my life, I ran a big investment firm in Connecticut for 12 years. I also kept my family farm. And in 2021, I moved back full-time to Pennsylvania, and I'm a Pennsylvanian. And I'm running to support the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where I grew up and have spent the majority of my life. I do rent a home in Connecticut. And the reason for that is, like most Pennsylvanians, not unfortunately, most Pennsylvanians, I'm divorced. And so I have one of my daughters who is finishing high school. She lives with her mom. And I go there periodically to visit her. And so I would say to Pennsylvanians who ask this question, I'm a Pennsylvanian through and through. I've had a great life and a very successful career. I credit a lot of that good fortune to growing up in Pennsylvania. And I'm deeply committed to serve the great Commonwealth where I spent the majority of my life.
We're toward the end of our interview here, so I'll leave the last few moments to you. Anything you wanted to add?
Well, I just would say that, through all my adult life, politicians would come around. By the way, you can't call me a politician until I win something. I'm right now a business guy trying to go make a difference. And but time and again, people say this is the most important election of your lifetime. And it's sort of like a thing people say. But I honestly think, as I look back on my lifetime, this is the most important. You know, we have the country couldn't be more fragile. The consequences of getting it wrong couldn't be more profound. And, you know, this is an election where we've got to get the right leadership in place to get our country back on track. And in my particular case, I'm running for a seat that will not only be critical for Pennsylvania, but critical for the country and flip the majority. And it's an election between, someone who's a status quo politician who's been in public office for 30 years and 18 years in the Senate, 98% vote for Joe Biden and the status quo, and someone who has been a leader all his life in the military and in business, and will bring about change. And so what I say on the campaign trail, I'll end on this, is that if you like the status quo, if you think the country's going in the right direction, do not vote for me. I'm not your guy. You should vote for Senator Casey. If you think we're in trouble and you think we need new, fresh leadership, somebody who doesn't owe anybody anything, somebody who accepts the people of Pennsylvania, someone who's doing this solely out of duty, honor, and country, then I'm your guy. And I'd be honored to serve our great Commonwealth and the great people of Pennsylvania.
Dave McCormick, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate here in Pennsylvania. Mr. McCormick, thank you so much for being on the show with us today, and I look forward to having you on the program in the future as well.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a good day. And we'll be back with more feedback in just a bit. Stay with us.
When I listen.
News Talk 830, WEEU.